Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A historic night in Leafs land. Whether you're young or old, you'll be remembering this night for years to come. Let's ask our Big Buddha brother, the insider that's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kyprios, former NHL forward, 94 Stanley Cup champion, co-host of Real Kipper and Born, and our Big Buddha.
Wow, I love it. How are you guys?
Oh, we're
feeling
good.
Good.
We're riding the high. We're riding the high. Listen,
yeah,
to me.
You know what?
Smile on your face.
Good for the city of Toronto. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. Matthews, 60 goals. Raptors coming back. Everybody's feeling like a little history might be in the making. Good time to be cheering right now.
Those
Look
Blue
at this.
Jays,
Even
don't
you
forget
are cheery
them.
About it. Like,
oh, my God. I forgot about messages. Springer's home run last night against the Sox. Like, man, it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. If Kyprios is this happy, you know it's good.
I am today.
Good. I know. That's what I mean. I hear the little spring in your step. You're stoked about it because I thought Matthews even enough where I went, okay, well, this is a really good measure of how fun last night was. That's how we just started our show today, Kipper, is when it actually happens, not when it's something on paper, not when it's, hey, discussing around the should they prioritize it, blah, 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 all the different conversations we had about getting to 60. But how did you feel in that moment watching him rip that one and actually hitting that number?
I think more than anything, a little relief. Like when you're down to the nitty-gritty here in the last two games, you have no idea. Like this is sport. It's really hard to definitively say that this is still going to happen. I don't care if it is against Detroit on a bad team. You get a hot goaltender. I think just feeling like it's dangling there so close at 58 and 59 and thinking, like, is this where it's going to end for him? And you knew that, and we listened to him, I think, talk to Sean McKenzie, I think, last night about, it's not the end of the world, but I want this. I want it. And you don't get that close without thinking, like, let's just get it done. And there's no question that in the last few games, I didn't particularly love his game, but it was because this thing has been hanging over his head, you know, in the last little while. So I think now that it's gone and he hit that magic mark of 60, it's going to look and feel a lot better in his game. And, you know, there are times when he'd shoot it. He shouldn't really shot the puck, but it's just a natural thing to go for it. And you knew that the players were feeding him pucks that generally wouldn't probably be their first choice. And all that's over now. You know, whether he plays or not, or whether, you know, he scores another one or two goals, there isn't going to be that sense of urgency to get him somewhere to 61 or 62 like there is getting him to 60. So I'm glad that's out of the way, and now they can really focus towards getting ready for game one.
So even though it is a personal accolade, you know, it shows a lot on the team, as you said, by helping propel him to that. Now that's done, how much do you think that gives them confidence going into the postseason that their top player got this personal thing off his back? You got Marner about to hit, hopefully, 100 points. You got Jack Campbell stringing together three or four great games in a row. Like, that just has to bode well for you if you're a fan, but also if you're a player, knowing that they're kind of peaking here at the right time to be peaking.
There's no question that if there's one player that shouldn't lack any confidence, it's Austin Matthews. I think he's got to be feeling like this is his time, this is his year to carry this hockey club, and that's what the great players do. The stars, they just feel like it's their time. And then, of course, it's led by Marner and Matthews. I mean, both these guys have had tremendous seasons and have gone to the next level. But the great ones, they find a way to lead. And I think they should be feeling great. You mentioned Campbell. You can go down the line now and look at their secondary scoring and think that they're in good shape here. And whether or not they get knocked out in the first round or get to a final, this is as good as they've felt in a long, long time. And good on them, because the last stretches here, the extended season, you know, pandemic pushing the season back. We should have been in the playoffs now for a week and a half, 2 weeks. I think they got the job done. They went in, they played some tough games against Florida, Tampa Bay, Washington, and I think they've got the job done. I think there should be a real feel of professionalism out of their game right now to go into game one.
Okay, so but just sticking with Matthews, right? Because, yeah, I don't know what to read from a week of not real games, to be honest, where there's not a lot of pressure. Sure, they're playing from home ice, but like some of the line machinations they use, the rest, the goaltending deployment, like the there was just a lot in there where you went, okay, what actually is the priority? You mentioned that thing about Matthews there that you didn't really love his game leading up into this, and I am curious as to just, you know, that chase for 60 and that chase for these goals, what are you looking to kind of normalize for him? What do you want to see? Because I think that a lot of us, when we say Auston Matthews taking a lot of shots, that's pretty much an automatic that he's playing well.
Yeah, yeah. Just a little less predictability, that's all. Mm. And it just, even the fact that, you know, Marner showed a little frustration. Let's not forget, like, Marner's going through something too, trying to get to 100. It isn't as prestigious as the 60, but those things are pretty important to those type of players. And, you know, he's got another crack at it, but getting three against Boston is going to be, I think, a little bit more difficult than even Austin's, you know, two against Detroit. You know, Sheldon's done a nice job of balancing all of this out. And, you know, factoring in that he's got to look after his goaltending. He's got to figure out his defense pairs. Who's sitting out in game one? So I think he probably has a pretty good idea that. Don't think the last game of the season's probably going to sway him one way or the other. I think he's locked in and ready to go as early as, I guess, Monday.
Before we jump to that defense lineup question, just you think Matthews plays against the Bruins or he sits? You think you're putting any of those big guys out there? We're going to see Abruzzese, Robertson lineup at the top.
Yeah. Hosang, I don't know. I mean,
hey, me and you, maybe you get out there with Bourne.
Yeah, me, you, and Bourne on the fourth line.
We're ready.
I think he's really insinuated that it's going to be certain guys' calls here, especially with Jack. I wouldn't be surprised if Jack said, yeah, I want to play one more. I think if he's feeling good and he looked solid last night and he wants to continue to kind of feel like he's in the zone, then go for it. As far as Marner's concerned, I don't worry about that guy one bit. That guy's got that engine, that Duracell battery that just goes and goes and goes. He'd be the least of my worries about making him feel like he needs to be rested and rejuvenated to start game one. Austin's coming off of sitting out already. I don't think I need to worry about him either. So outside of that, I think it's just business as usual for the Leafs against Boston, and get ready.
Well, we always call it the bubble wrap game. It better be tame, no pushing after the whistles, no Kiprios in front of the net. Just, you know, nice and polite hockey game. Everybody be polite. But Muzzin, Muzzin's
like
a question for me. Yeah, I don't know. Muzzin, though, he's been up and down and injured and back in the lineup. What do you think that they should do with him? And if he is playing, who's out of the lineup? Like, that defense question is something that's really big right now.
Yeah, I just, first of all, I thought he was okay last night. I mean, nothing spectacular, but he looked more like himself, a little bit more assertive than probably we've seen in his last few games. So he's playing. he's in for game one. I need Jake Muzzin. I need my shutdown guy, my $6 million shutdown guy. I feel like I can't do this without him. So I'm putting that emphasis on him leading the way here when it comes to shutting down the Tampa Bay Lightning. Outside of that, now you're into rights and lefts and Liljegren, Hall, Liljegren for me. And, you know, I just feel like Liljegren's progressed enough where, at least in his own zone, like, I feel like he can put fires out a little better, a little bit more consistent than Hall. But we'll see how it shapes up. Sandin's probably going to play against Boston, which is a good thing. Don't think that I'm starting him in game one, but he's another guy that can come in if Muzzin slips or you end up with an injury or a suspension here or there. He's just he's going to have to buy his time a little bit to try to get back in.
It's a good problem to have because having defensive depth come playoff time is obviously, like, that's every single Stanley Cup playoffs. We talk about this, right? Is having blue line depth, how important it is. And look at the Leafs in years past where they've lost Jake Muzzin and you go, oh, they're dead because he's the only guy that brings any kind of thump to the back end and they can't replace him. This year they actually can. We're having the opposite conversations. I just wonder, like, yeah, Sandin looks good. If he looks good tonight here, sorry, I guess Friday against the Bruins, and he looks like he's ready to play, and you get a tough Jake Muzzin, I wonder what the leash is going to be on for certain guys. Because I think that we would agree that, okay, Hall and Lyubushkin in some ways are a little interchangeable. I agree with you about Liljegren, where he and Gio have looked so good together that I don't think you're messing with that. But I think last night's blue line pairings, Muzzin, Brody, Riley, Lyubushkin, Giordano, Liljegren, like, that's the way you're starting this sucker. That's what you're going to go into the playoffs with. I think the question is, do you think that changes on the left side? Like, could you see a scenario where Sandin is the future of this organization or one of those guys, but he also might be the now? Like, what happens if Muzzin struggles? Does he come out after two games and they replace him with Sandin? Do you think that they will have the wherewithal to do that?
Yes, if Muzzin struggles in the first two games, you pull him. I don't think that's going to happen, to be quite honest with you. I think his style of play should be good enough to hold himself in there. If it's not 100%, he's got to be 80 or 90. But if it slips to 60 and he's caught flat-footed like he was on the Tom Wilson goal, or I'm sorry,
Kipper, you don't have to remember who it was. It's happened to him every single goal against this year.
Do you remember?
I remember the play where he's
caught flat-footed.
Yes.
And he looked like somebody out of a beer league, let alone an NHL top shutdown guy. If it gets to that point, then all of a sudden, and it was Carlson, by the way. Mm-hmm. If it gets to the point where he looks like he defended Carlson, then you pull him out of there. But right now, what you saw last night out of Jake Muzzin is what you kind of expect going into the playoffs here. And people were laughing at me at the trade before the trade deadline when I said, you need eight or nine defensemen to get through four rounds. And they're all going to play. I assure you, they get past Tampa Bay and they find themselves in a conference final or a Stanley Cup final. They're going to need everybody. There's always going to be that one defenseman that only plays, you know, four or five games if a team wins a Stanley Cup. But those four or five games are really, really important.
Kipper, I'm glad you brought up that because you said that on our show. I wish I had it in front of me, but you just saying that right now. I like being petty at times, and that's a good spot to be petty, is I remember you on this show saying the Leafs needed two more defensemen, that they didn't just need one, they needed two. And I remember you getting lit up in the comments by all the blog boys. I'm serious. All the bloggers, all the dudes who, you know, have some variation of Leafs Matthews, Marner, Nylander in their Twitter account names that have a picture of someone that's not them. And there was a lot of that going around, you know? Like,
yeah.
A lot of, oh, Kipper, what is Kipper? Look at the stats of what the Leafs have, blah, 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 blah. Blue line's never been better. Why? Because they added two guys that are going to end up starting in the playoffs for them. Lyubushkin, he's going to start in the playoffs for them, brings a physical presence that they'd never had, and Mark Giordano, another guy who clears the front of the net, doesn't turn pucks over, and brings veteran leadership, and has totally balanced out the lines and completely changed Timothy Liljegren since the guy arrived to town. Listen to the way that Sheldon Keefe talks about Giordano every time that he gets the opportunity to, right? He gushes. He goes, he always does the, oh, I don't think it's a coincidence, or he's like, oh, part of it is, you can't give it all to Gio, but we've played our best defensive hockey since he's been here. You were right about that. And I think that, yeah, you deserve credit for having that take because, yeah, a lot of the dorks kind of hammered you over it.
But yeah, a lot of the dorks never lived through a Stanley Cup playoffs to watch. I go back to my Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers. Everybody thinks Messier, Leach, and Richter. And I'm like, no. Think Doug Lidster. And they're like, who? Doug Lidster. Here's a guy that, in many ways, saved our playoff season by coming in and playing outstanding when we started battling some injuries. Jeff Bookaboom had a really bad knee and probably was at about 40%, 50%. And not flashy, but Doug Lidster came in and solidified a blue line. That's the way it works this time of year.
If any of the blog boys get to you, just flash them the ring. You know, they'll show up. But,
yeah. What have you guys done?
Yeah, that's right. No rings for best blogs around here. Okay, yeah. So you talk about the defensive lineups, and you seem to be pretty confident in who might start. But do you think there's any tough decisions to be made on the on the forward lineups? You feeling good about who's proven themselves and where the at least the second line and the third line match up?
Well, it sounds like Bunting should be okay, which, again, you got to start there. Once you know Bunting's there, then he's going to take his regular spot with Matthews and Marner, and then you can work your way down. Mikheyev, I've been really impressed with him the last little while, even that little run-in he had last night with Gagne where he smashed his head into the glass. I'm like, that's really good stuff. I mean, that's playoff stuff. You know Tampa Bay's going to do it to you. So it's good. And if he can kind of play with a little bit of that grit going in, then Mikheyev's going to be a really, really important guy, probably for John Tavares. Willie seems to be quite comfortable right now, and you can slide him up and down between Tavares and Kampf and maybe Engvall. So depth is real important this time of year. You just hope it doesn't thin out a little bit with injuries. But I think the Leafs are ready. I mean, regardless of what we see Friday night, I think this team's ready to give Tampa all they can handle.
I love it. So much positivity from you this morning. It's good to have at least
two
people
like that on
the show.
Did you like the positive Kipper?
I love it. Yes. Bring it every week, unless they lose. So
We'll see. Silver this lining. Week it was fine. Let's see. You know, we'll see forward. You know,
all bets are off after game one. By the way,
that's right.
They better show up.
Oh boy.
Let me enjoy the Austin Matthews thing for one day before I start to sweat out the anger of them playing Tampa in the first round. Like, I just can't get over this. Is Bevan ever just going to just take a L on this? Like, is he ever just going to realize that he's created the worst playoff format in all of sports? Like, by the widest margin possible? Like, why? Why can't they just figure this out and change the... Like, just take the L. Just, you made a bad choice. You made a bad playoff format. Change it. It sucks. Who likes it?
I can't disagree with you, but it is what it is.
It's not changing tomorrow. Changing tomorrow. Ugh, fine. All right. Bye, Kipper. Thanks, buddy. See you, man.
Okay.
Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward, Stanley Cup champion, guy who was right about the Leafs needing to add two defensemen. I actually pulled the tweet up. Sorry to our guy, the road guy, who was a great listener, but woof, tough look for you in those comment sections, buddy. Tough look for
Kipper.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Also our insider, That was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Yeah, listen, Kipper was right, and sometimes give credit where credit's due. The blue line is way better because of the additions that they made. Today is a day of celebration. We'll talk more about the Lightning stuff later and the playoff stuff later, but God, that format it aggravates me to no end. And honestly, like, I'll just be going about my day doing stuff and I'll be washing the dishes, you know. I'll go out and run an errand. I'll get a delivery. I'll be eating my Uber Eats, and all of a sudden, there'll just that thought will creep in of this playoff format that they're going to have the franchise record in points. And I know everybody that's in the playoffs got 100 points this year, so it feels a little less meaningful. But they're going to have the best year in, let's say, modern day franchise history because the point system has changed.
But it's the best by points percentage, too. So, like, sure. However you want to chop it up, it's their best regular season.
And they're going to play the bleepin' Lightning in the first round. And Gary Bettman,
the two-time defending champs.
You know.
Yeah.
You win the Royal Rumble and you get Brock Lesnar in the first round.
Yeah, it's not fair. I don't even care about fair because life isn't fair. But this isn't right. Like, this is just wrong. This is wrong, wrong, wrong. It's the most obvious fix for the NHL. There's two things the NHL absolutely needs to do. One is luxury tax, and two is fix the playoff system and just go back to 1-8. Nobody cares about anything like 1-8. 1-8.
I don't feel like the rivalries are even made. Like, they're made in the regular season. Like, I don't care about this stupid, oh, we'll have them play each other in the postseason. The rivalries are already there. We already hate the teams that we hate. Like, it's not growing for me. I mean, maybe the Bruins, but I don't think that has just been because of playoffs. I mean, it's definitely amplified it, but I don't see the logic behind it, and it sucks. And every other league laughs at the NHL.
As they should. It's poorly run. It's poorly run. They got a team that's playing was supposed to play in a 5,000 team stadium. They haven't done a good job of growing stars. They haven't done a good job of growing narratives or marketing the game. Like, it just, yeah, it continues to be a mess in a lot of regards. But this is just wrong. Like, this is just wrong. You want to make sure
that they can do 10 outdoor games a year make up for it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's focus on more games on crappy ice. But, okay, so I was thinking about this because I brought this up to you guys in the chats the last couple of days, and I've never really done the take, but I was thinking about, does the NHL ever move back to the play-in game thing after what happened here, right, where you end up having teams that are locked into spots, and do they try to spice up a little bit of the drama? Do they try to get a little bit away from not tanking, but just lackadaisical and boring hockey down the stretch here? Because if you're a fan of Western Conference hockey and you're staying up and watching the Golden Knights lose last night in the shootout, then okay. But hockey is a local sport now, and it's not national, not even in this country. There are certain pockets where it is, but not everywhere. It's regional. It's a regional sport. Do you want to play a game? And the more I thought about it, I went, no, you can't have a play-in game. You know why? Because the NHL is not the NBA where the play-in game, the team that wins a play-in game isn't going anywhere. They're going to get smashed out. Even this year, we thought, oh, LeBron and KD, they could win the play-in game. So they could, yeah, well, guess what? KD just got swept. His team sucked. They were who we thought they were. Hockey, you can absolutely have a team that wins a play-in game round, ends up playing a
like
team
the
that's
Montreal
one
Canadiens.
Seed, bingo, and ends up winning a series because they get hot goaltending. So, no, that's not right. You can't ask guys to play 82-game seasons, or even if you drop it down to 72, whatever, and put a team in that is 10 points behind 100 points Capitals or whatever because they have a chance.
18 points behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying years moving. Yeah, but this year is a horrible aberration.
Like,
but
this year would be, this year would be amazing in the Western Conference and an absolute joke in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And this is my issue with the NBA's one, too. And there's not a way to resolve it because once you institute it, there's TV rights and commitments and things like that. There would have to be some cutoff for me of if you're not close enough, you don't get the play-in right.
Of course.
And
of
that,
course.
The NBA should do that, too, but they're not going to because now it's big viewing.
My point here is that the NHL already has a problem in terms of getting the best teams to the finals.
Randomness, yeah.
Yes, and so encouraging things like Leafs Lightning round one and Panthers Bruins, I don't think they'll end up playing each other, but you get my drift here, is that having the best teams play each other early is crap. Don't do that. Stop doing that. NHL, for the love of God, try to get the best teams to the end. So try to have it where you have iconic Stanley Cup finals. That's one way to grow the cup, the game nationally. It's not having Dallas Stars in the finals or and so many of these other teams that have made it over the years where you're just like, oh, yeah, the most forgettable team ever. Let's take a break. Wake and Rake, last night. My sons came through for me. Thank God. Like, that just everything is fine now. Everything's
okay. Thank God
okay.
for George Springer for me because it was not looking good.
I guess Musgrove didn't hit the strikeouts.
Yeah, your sons came through. My son, Joe Musgrove, did not come through. Yes.
Old Joey Musgrove. But more of our best bets, and we'll tee up the Blue Jays game tonight. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Blake and Ayla, 4590, The Fan.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
JD Blake and Ailish, Sports at 5-9 of the Fan. You want a little extras? You want little pieces? You follow us on our socials at JD Bunkus, at eBlake Murphy, at Ailish Forfar, both on Twitter and Instagram. Reach out anytime. I got some betting slips yesterday because I had the three NBA parlay, which was the three favorites yesterday. Shout out to the Atlanta Hawks. Such losers with Trae Young. My Trae Young takes were all right. I know Daniele loves Trae Young. His generation thinks that that's what winning basketball is. But it's just, guys like me know, the OGs know. Even no Jimmy Butler, no Kyle Lowry, still can't get a W with Trae Young. The only way you win with Trae Young is if A, you play the Knicks, or B, you face the Sixers, which should actually maybe take away some of the pride that Raptors fans have if they beat this team, is that, well, how excited can you be if Trae Young did it?
Yeah, well, speaking of the 76ers, the reason they went out and got James Harden is they're like, well, we just got beat by Trae Young. What if we get old Trae Young?
Yeah.
2-12, 11 points. Yeah. A nice little James Harden game 6 tribute from Trae Young last night.
Trae Young, man. I knew it. I knew all along, Trae. I knew all along. People still brought up the Luka Doncic thing. Like, that's a real debate. Like, a real debate that human beings on this planet have is, you know what you see a lot of, Blake? You see a lot of people go, this is a rare case where both teams won the trade. I'm like, unless you mean Dallas won this like twice over, yes. There's no case to be made that Atlanta did well in that trade. Okay, so we said it in the break.
I mean, if they hadn't squandered the extra pick, maybe, but they used it on Cam Reddish, who they then turned into Kevin Knox, who you forget he's on the roster.
I will say that I was a big Cam Reddish guy. I really thought that he was going to translate better to the NBA, and I had a hot second there where maybe it was going to go down, but no, it didn't turn out to be the case. So the Wake and Rake goes 2-1 yesterday. All Blake Murphy is the trapdoor, but again, it doesn't matter because he puts down his losses as wins, and his book, the Joe Musgrove,
well, you guys
was only
misheard
at one strikeout.
You guys heard Joe Musgrove, but I bet on Mo Justgrove, and he hit the over on the strikeout. It was a double-A pitcher, Mo Justgrove, and it was over 2.5 strikouts.
Of the Springfield isotopes, he just...
Lake Elsinore Storm or whatever.
Yeah, he went out there. What's the T-shirt I have that Lance got me? The hops, the somewhere...
Oh, yeah, the Hillsborough Hops?
That's right, the Hillsborough Hops. Yeah, Lance bought me that shirt. I should at least know the name of it. But yeah, no, he... Mo Justgrove was amazing last night. So the Wake and Rake goes 2-1. Ailish gets a miracle for the victory. It actually killed
me.
Absolute
miracle. I was waiting. I just, come on, guys, get it. Yeah. Springer!
Yeah.
Love it.
And the Phoenix
JD,
Suns
are you
going to
share the anti-Wake and Rake bet you made?
Oh, yeah. I had a huge bet on the under. I didn't go against Ailish with the team total.
Right. It's just
I had the full game under because I had a lot of faith in Gausman, and that game's 2-1, and I'm basically counting the money. And I had a fat bet on it. Like, I had a fat under bet. And
anyone who can't tell, when JD said he's counting the money, he licked his thumb, by the way. Like,
yeah,
this is a man who is actually counting the money.
Yeah, I was. And I had actually, like, thank goodness for my sons, because if it was not for the Suns, I don't know if I showed up for work today. I think I just would have been too depressed. I got
hammered.
Wait,
you're going to chase losing money by not coming to work? Uh-huh. That's the worst thing you could do. You should show up twice.
No,
you
because I...
and born later.
No, I was just going to embrace my life as a bum. Like, I was just going to embrace life in the gutter. If anybody saw Nightmare Alley, like, that's where I was headed, was a life in Nightmare Alley.
Nightmare Alley. A parlay, please.
Well, it was just... You know, I've been riding the MLB unders because there's been low scoring, low scoring, low scoring. And then yesterday was the day where just everybody scored, even with good pitching. And so I'm ruined, as Tim Robinson would say. That Blue Jays game went exactly the way that I thought it was going to go. And I looked at that Jays lineup, too, and I went, okay, I really like the idea that Gausman's pitching again, which was correct. That was the correct call. I liked that the bullpen had a day off, as I had said. And I also looked at the Jays lineup and I went, okay, this is a day where they're going to go with Tapia and they're going to go with Zimmer. Like, they went with all the guys that can hit for the second half of the lineup. I went, okay, great, 2-1. This is locked in. No, hurts. So, loved Springer's bomb, but this is why you don't gamble on home teams or take unders, is because it did taint it a little bit, because that did push it to the over 8.5, which is what I had.
Tell you, the new Matthews over 3.5 shots for me is the Zimmer under 0.5 total bases.
Oh my god, he had
anytime
five
he starts,
in the
sorry,
first period.
Sorry, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Zimmer, Ailish thinks he looks like a cartoon character. I think like he looks like a guy that loves BMX and
no,
Fox
he
Racing.
He looks like a caricature.
Red Bull, Monster Energy. Of what, though? Yeah, I don't even get that.
Of himself. Like, he looks like a character.
He looks
when you go
like
to Wonderland and they draw your face. Like, that's what he looks like a cartoon version of himself. Not a different cartoon person, but yeah, you'll put them side by side and I'll figure it out.
Okay, I'm going to send you guys a picture. He doesn't look like this with the beard, but when he was clean shaven, he looks like the long lost Ball brother, like LaMelo and Lonzo. And
really?
You're not going to see it when I say that, but I'm about to send you a picture. And you're going to see it. This is him in the minor leagues. Or this is him at University of San Francisco,
that's
actually.
That's exactly it.
So,
caricature, too.
Tonight, it's Ross Stripling. He gets the bump. Or he gets the mound. How do we feel about the Jays tonight? They're favorites, again, against the Red Sox. I guess they should be. It's a pretty heavy favorite, -152 for the Jays to win this game. Baseball terms, that's pretty significant. Blake, let's start with you. Jays, Sox tonight, -152.
Yeah, it's a bullpen-heavy day, right? So you're going to get four out of Stripling and two out of Thornton.
Can you bet the over 3.5 hours?
I wish you could bet that that way, except because that's the only way that it would make watching Kikuchi okay, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, that's the only way that that would be a good find.
Why not? I mean, we could bet on the over for the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Why it's can't true. we bet on the over for pitcher length or game length? So, Stripling, I would imagine the plan is Stripling 4, Thornton 2 again. That's been the formula. That's worked fairly well. Obviously, there's some room for, hey, if this lineup gets going, the plans have to change. Mm-hmm. And you did have to use a couple extra guys yesterday in the bullpen because of the extra innings and Jimmy Garcia. However, your bullpen's in pretty good shape. There's not a single guy in the bullpen right now that's pitched consecutive days. So you do have everyone available there. Theoretically, maybe Jimmy Garcia's not after 16 pitches and a blown save. But no one is too overtaxed in there. So that's a good thing on a Stripling day. On the other side is Michael Wacha, who has been off to what I'll call a very fortunate start to the year. He hasn't gone past the fifth inning. He has a 1.88 ERA that is not backed up by anything. His batting average on balls in play against is 114. He has walked 12.5% of the batters he's faced. He's not missing bats. It's the career low swinging strike rate for him. He's not striking out a ton of guys in general. There is, like, everything here screams regression. Now, that can go two ways. It can catch up with him a little bit, or he starts pitching more like himself, which is a little bit of a better version of this. But yeah, if you look at the 1.88 ERA and you're scared off by that, no way. We're talking 4.68 FIP. We're talking huge walk rate, low swinging strike rate. A guy who gives up a fair amount of fly balls in general. Wacha is not a good starting pitcher.
Yeah, so, you're right. You look at the metrics, and they're all like everything's down across the board except for the ERA. Like, this is a guy.
Even his velocity's down over a mile an hour.
Well, 20, like, if you just go, because Waka, I think people think still all the way back to St. Louis with the All-Star, because, again, we remember names like this, right?
And, he had a couple sub-4 ERA seasons.
Yeah, but that was a long, that was a lifetime ago. The last
Not even the
seasons.
Rays could fix him is the worst thing you can say about Michael Waka.
That's it. He had a 6.62 ERA in 2020, and he had a 5 ERA last season. And now, if you're looking at it where you're saying Stripling's going up against a guy with a sub-2 ERA to start the year and a whip under 1, you go, well, yeah, but then you look at everything else. Yeah, K per 9s, velocity, whatever. Everything's down. This is a regression spot. My only thing is this is a no play for me just because I'm a little afraid of the Blue Jays regression part of this, where I think there's something to baseball teams. This is a very feel thing, but you're up 2-0 in a series. You have a guy like Ross Stripling on the mound. You're not going to want to tax the best arms in your bullpen unless you're actually put in a position where you sort of have to. Sox need a win here. I don't know. This just feels like a little bit of a the Sox haven't scored a lot of runs in this series. They've been shut down. This just kind of feels like a little bit of a breakout spot for them. I'm staying away.
One thing to watch for on the player prop side, it hasn't been the case through 3 starts this year, but historically Michael Waka is a big reverse splits guy. So it's not a spot where, you know, you're necessarily going to stack lefties or play the lefties play the lefties on the prop side. He is friendlier to righties historically. Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on this game,
Ailish? Did you have something there? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't feel very confident for the first time in the Blue Jays tonight. You know, I usually am a homer, but I feel like everything you just laid out and the pitching matchup, I feel like it's an over game, and I feel like there might be a little bit of regression. Like, the Jays barely won last night. It was a fun one, but I think that they're due for maybe a little bit of a off game. So probably don't want to bet the other team because, you know me, I'm a homer, but that's just kind of my feeling of how this one might go.
Okay, so if we're betting that Waka is eventually going to have regression, though, and the Jays will probably go with a better hitting lineup tonight, because last night they went with the nuclear "this is not about hitting" lineup and still found
a way to win. Yeah, the over 9 looks nice.
Yeah, 8.5 runs right now, minus mm-hmm. 125. That feels like a little bit possibly more of the play here, right?
Yeah, I think absolutely. That's I would be fairly confident in that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an overplay. I think Waka's really bad, and I'm going to look silly if he comes out and gives them 5 good innings today. But, I watched one of those starts, too, and it was a minor miracle he wasn't getting lit up because everything was finding a glove.
Yeah, I will say this, though, that, again, this is a process versus results thing sometimes mm-hmm. with gambling, and we do that sometimes when you lose, and it's like an excuse, or it sounds like an excuse. But, no, the whole point of the Wake and Rake, or a lot of it, is not only to win the listeners a crazy amount of money. Again, this is the best gambling segment in the country. We'll put up our record against anybody's, and it will stand very, very well. You probably are thinking, should I pay for a subscription site, or should I do this? It's like, no, had you been listening to this from the start, then you'd be in – you'd be making good money. You'd be having a great winning percentage.
Also, not to take food off of anyone's plate, but macro, like big picture, paying for betting tips is negative EV because
it's stupid.
Chews up
it's
your profit thing. Margin, and it's it's hard to wade through the snake oil in there.
Yes, and not only that, okay, there are certain actual sharps that do that for a living where they are putting so much money down that they tilt the books. Like, if you look at, like, Warren Sharp, for example, like, with his site is not Football Outsiders. That's someone else. That's DVOA. But I can't remember what Warren Sharp's thing is. But either way, they have, like, so much money come in on some of the bets they make that it actually moves the lines, like, of a real significant margin. So that stuff is completely different. I'm talking about the average site where they ask you for pay. It's like, if someone's telling you to pay, then that means they're not making enough money. If their picks are that good, they should be giving you them for free, like we do, the transparency of the Wake and Rake. But, yeah, just looking at this Blue Jays game, I kind of like that 8.5 because Waka is a guy that you look at, hey, right now offense is down and Waka's numbers look pretty decent. And I think a little bit of this line is this, look at this Red Sox pitcher. He's actually looking all right. He should be able to keep the numbers down. The Blue Jays are favored. Hey, maybe this game ends up coming in around 7. I think it's a good spot to bet the over tonight with the Toronto Blue Jays. Blake, do you have anybody in this game that is actually a player to watch when it comes to total bases who has a history of success against Waka? Like, he only has the 1 year, I believe, in the American League, right, against the with the Rays. But do you have any sample that you care about in this game?
Yeah, give me one sec. The one thing I will say is I do have a fast breakdown coming on Bo Bichette's struggles a little later today. And if what's happened with the fast breakdown in the past holds true, Bo Bichette could have a big game. He's also 3-for-4 with a walk and a homer against Michael Wacha in his career. Teoscar's out, but Vlad and George Springer have also had some success against him, but not a lot of, as you get further down the lineup, not a lot of sample against Michael Wacha for this team. Kirk 0-for-4 is the only real negative spot, but yeah, Bo, Vlad, and Springer have all had some success against him because good hitters have success against bad pitchers. Shocker there.
I was going to say, if you can get that plus number on over 1.5 bases for any of those guys, Springer and Vladdy in particular, like
so Bo's plus 120 over 1.5. Vladdy's actually minus 110 over 1.5. Springer's plus 120 over 1.5. That might be the best value there. Obviously, you want to see what the Jays tried out as a lineup, but even some of the lower end guys like an Espinal or a Chapman might be an over 0.5 day because, again, it's I would imagine Zach Collins probably plays today, but it's not a stack the lefties day. It's a Waka struggles against righties as much or more than he does against lefties. So I'll look at some of those once we know what the lineup's looking like as well.
Okay. Anything else from this game? Or are we ready to move on?
Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. All right, let's do our best bets for tonight's game. Ailish Forfar, where are you at right now?
Okay, so back to NHL. 15 out of the 16 playoff spots have been clinched. A lot happened last night, but there's still some intriguing storylines with those friggin' Golden Knights who just are struggling. But they need to win the next two games, and Dallas needs to lose the next two games in regulation for the Golden Knights to pull something out. So two interesting games is Golden Knights obviously play tonight because I feel like they play every single night down the stretch. They're playing the Blackhawks. For them to win in regulation, which they desperately need, it's minus 120. That's a nice bet for me. And then the other option that I had, an interesting scenario, is the Kings clinched the playoffs last night, and that's the first time since the 17-18 season. For them to win in regulation over the Kraken, who just have checked out and have nothing to play for, is minus 110. So those two are the ones I'll be playing tonight. I feel bad putting the late game in there, but I'm going to put the Kings Kraken game in my wake and rake. LA to win in regulation, minus 110. Feel confident that they're riding a little bit of a high. The Kraken, not the greatest. Go Kings tonight, minus 110, win in regulation. But I also like the Golden Knights play, but they're a little sneaky. They could also collapse.
I'm kind of glad you didn't pick the Golden Knights one, though, because I'm a little afraid of they lost that game last night, and now the season feels kind of done.
Shootout, and they just feel like blah.
Well, and it would be one thing if Dallas was going up against a good team tonight where they had a chance to lose, but they're playing the Coyotes who won yesterday on the front end of a back-to-back.
-500 favorites, too.
I don't know how that couldn't be in their heads just a little bit that they like to have that letdown of blowing that game. It's harder for me to envision Vegas coming out and going, we're going to dominate tonight. We're going to leave it all out on the table. I don't know. Maybe they just pack it in. That's my fear with the NHL tonight in general, is that it feels kind of like all you mentioned, the Kings clinched. The Kraken played last night too, though, so that one I don't mind as much. It's just this feels like a very crap shooty night in the NHL to me. I thought the same thing originally. Last night when I was going to bed and I was looking at this, I was thinking, yeah, you know what, Vegas and the Stars, because I watched the end of that game. But yeah, to me, both those teams are stayaways. If anything, the only one that I actually kind of like is Dallas to leave no doubt and them to smoke Arizona. The problem is that Dallas to win by 3 goals is plus 100. 3. That seems like to me what you'd rather do there, and this is just a little advice for gamblers out there with hockey, is I would live bet this game. A lot of times when you're up a goal, you end up going into a third period where you'll find a minus or a small plus number. And to me, that's kind of a spot where you want to wait that out and you want to try to hit it, because the favorite is probably going to lock the game down or end up getting an empty netter in a scenario like this. So you probably won't get crazy money. It'll probably be like around minus 135, I'm guessing, if they're up a goal or two. If it goes beyond three, no, because I don't think Arizona pulls the goalie. You've already bet that. But if you can catch it live where Dallas is only up a goal or two, that's my bet for that game, is trying to live play that.
Hari Sattari is starting a net for the Coyotes in that game. If that might, if that tickles you for the over 6.0, he has a 5.88 goals against average and an 8.22 save percentage.
None of that matters, because he's alternate timelines. Okay, like, yeah, he's had four starts with the Arizona Coyotes. Had he, you know, what's insult to injury? Do you know that if you look at his Hockey DB page, it has Toronto Maple Leafs like with zero stats across the board? Like, yes, it does. It has it seriously does. It has like he was a Leaf because he signed there. But yes, I don't take any Arizona stats into account. That team is a dreadful. Okay, so my best bet for tonight, I'm going back to the NBA. It's where I'm having my most success. I think this is laydown night for the Denver Nuggets. I think it's going to be a blowout. I'm laying the points. I'm not afraid. I think Golden State is going to kill them. It's 8.5, which is a lot of points, but I think Denver sucks, and I think Denver gave them one good punch, and now I think this thing's over, and I think the Warriors are going to absolutely steamroll them. I kind of like the over a little bit here too, but I'm not going to play that because it's a little too high. I'm just going to go with the Warriors. I was reminded yesterday in the Suns game that laying the points is not the worst thing when you think you're on the much better side. And that's how I feel about Golden State. It's they want to close this out. I don't think that they want to go back to Denver and make this a series. They're going to blow them out. -8.5, Golden State Warriors.
All right. I'm going Los Angeles Dodgers straight up against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Actually, I'm going to go five-inning line because it's you get a little more juice on it. It's Julio Urias against Zach Gallen. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good under spot. It's just a day game after a night game, so there's a little bit of, you know, bullpen concern or whatever. The Arizona Diamondbacks cannot score. They cannot hit at all. They have WRC plus that is, like, if you think Bo Bichette's struggling to start the season, that's their entire team. And obviously, Urias, pretty good arm on the other side. Gallen's had a really nice start to the year, which is why maybe this is an under spot for you. The Dodgers bats are the Dodgers bats. So I'll just go Dodgers on the five-inning line. Trust that they'll nudge out the starting pitching matchup there and get to Gallen a little early.
Minus 180.
The Diamondbacks really can't hit. Pardon me?
Yeah, it's minus 180 on that line for the first five, which I like this one. Because you know why? I like this one because last night, the Dodgers blew it late. I think they blew it in the eighth inning, where they're just about to close this game out and they end up getting smashed there. So I always like it when a better team has an opportunity to bounce back. And yeah, I think that Arizona is, like, look at their lineup. It's not very strong. So that's your wake and rake for the day. Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I have it at minus 165. For the five-inning line.
Price.
But yeah, it's 180. I have 180 for the full game and 165 for the five-inning. That's why I went the five-inning side.
Nice.
So yeah, so your wake and rake for April 27th, story to step on you there a little, JD, is the Los Angeles Dodgers five-inning line, the Los Angeles Kings in regulation, and the, we'll call them the California Warriors, -8.5 to just make it a Cali parlay today. Golden State to close out the Nuggets in convincing fashion. Let's take a break.
We had the Cali parlay. I like that. Okay, that's
yeah.
Good.
I just keep looking for stuff like this. It's the, you know, there's the Texas one we almost did the other day. There's the yesterday we did the double A parlay with Mo Justgrove coming through on the strikeout prop. Today's the Cali parlay. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's do a little more Jays Red Sox talk. Let's talk to Dan Schulman and see if the Jays can lock in a series victory today with Ross Stripling on the mound. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.